from the gospel. And I invite you to turn with me to the gospel of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We will read just verses 38 through 42 together as our reading this morning in preparation for hearing the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And may Jesus Christ, who is the living Word, speak to us from this passage, which is his written Word. You may be seated. Our focus during this particular season is on the journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. We saw last week in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, or literally the phrase reads, Jesus set his face for Jerusalem. And we have from Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through chapter 19, verse 40, we have this journey that Jesus takes to Jerusalem. Luke highlights that in the structure of his gospel. He focuses our attention, and we find little references to this journey throughout this section. We just saw it in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, or as Jesus and his disciples were journeying, the focus is on the journey. And in focusing upon the journey to Jerusalem, Luke highlights for us what is essential for discipleship. What is critical for following Jesus. The journey of Jesus was something for him, but it also becomes a pattern for us. It becomes a pattern of discipleship, a pattern of what it means to follow Jesus. Now, right prior to that verse in Luke 9:51, we have the account of the transfiguration of Jesus, which is the turning point in the Gospel of Luke. It signals everything that is going to come after, and in so doing, it prepares us for this journey that Jesus is taking. But as we've said, it is not only his journey, it is our journey. Every one of us in this room this morning are on a journey. You are engaged in, I am engaged in, a pilgrimage, a journey. And our journey follows in the path of Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, two things are crucial for us to understand in this story, and then we'll focus on the one thing that is essential. The first thing is Jesus enters the home of a woman and there teaches the Word of God, the message of the kingdom of God. We read this almost too lightly or too glibly. And yet the fact that Jesus enters the home of a woman would have been startling in that culture. a rabbi, as he was known, enters the home of a woman, and there he teaches about the kingdom of God. Jesus breaks, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, we see this, he breaks down social barriers, cultural barriers, ethnic barriers, gender barriers. Jesus crosses these boundaries in order to bring the message of the kingdom of God to all involved. Such is the case here as Jesus goes to the home of Martha. Now, we're not told that it's the home of Mary and Martha. We're just told that it's Martha's home. Maybe Mary had a separate dwelling place. Nothing said of their husbands. We read in John chapter 11 that this home was located in Bethany, and that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, lived with them. What's interesting is we're not told of the town here. And as I said, it's most likely Bethany, because Luke does not have the journey arranged in a chronological fashion. It's not just a linear journey from here to there, from point A to point B. He highlights certain themes along the journey in order to teach us what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So Jesus enters the home of a woman, and there he engages in teaching the Word of God. The second thing is the context is that of a meal. In Luke's Gospel, and we've shared this in the past, but particularly in Luke's Gospel, Luke highlights Jesus sharing meals with people. More so than any other Gospel writer, Luke focuses our attention on Jesus sharing table with others. You see, it is always in the context of a meal that Jesus shares the message of the kingdom of God. You see, a meal is not just a time of consuming food for fuel. A meal is a time of conversation. It's a time of sharing life together. It's a time of teaching. It's interesting how certain television programs pick this up, or certain themes in literature focus on this. Right now there's a series on television called Blue Blood, or Blue Bloods. It's an adventure story or a dramatic story of a family that is made up of policemen. The grandfather, the father, and the grandchildren are policemen. And what's interesting is, and it's deliberately done in the very nature of the drama, there's always a focus in every show on sitting around a table and discussing life. At the head of the table is the sort of head of the family, who is the police commissioner. And he's always seeking to dispense wisdom to his family, to his children and grandchildren. And of course, his own father sits at the table. But it's very interesting that this program highlights the theme of sharing a table as a family. And in sharing the table as a family, and it's not a completely whole family. Two of the wives have died, and several of them are single. But in sharing this life together, they share wisdom. They teach. They interact about the issues of life. And the table fellowship becomes a means of learning together, of growing together. This is exactly what Luke is highlighting in his gospel. Jesus shares table with sinners. And he's criticized for it. He shares table with tax collectors. And he comes under withering criticism for doing that. And yet it is at table. It's sharing meals. It's sharing fellowship together at a meal that Jesus highlights what the kingdom of God is all about. In the Gospel of Luke, the table becomes, as it were, the visual image of what the kingdom of God is about. Now, Luke highlights that for us because this table, the Lord's table, becomes to us an image or an icon, as it were, of the kingdom of God. It speaks to us of forgiveness. It speaks to us of reconciliation. It speaks to us of the rule of God, His rule of grace, His rule of mercy, His rule of love in our lives. This is what the kingdom of God is about. Now, Jesus is welcomed into the home of Martha. As the host, she is responsible for preparations and the meal. With the coming of Jesus to her home, she is especially concerned about all the details that are necessary for sharing a meal together. You see, Martha is an emblem of hospitality. Now, it is interesting, back earlier in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus entered the home of a Pharisee, he rebukes the Pharisee for not showing hospitality. You remember at that time, Jesus came into the house, he ate, and then a woman who was a sinner, it says, came and she let down her hair, which was a symbol of shame in a public setting for a woman to do so. And she begins to weep as she kneels at the feet of Jesus, and her tears bathe his feet. And then she takes her hair and she washes his feet. And you remember the Pharisees became quite offended at this. This Pharisee, who was the host that day, began to criticize in his own mind Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him for his lack of hospitality. He said, "I came in here and you offered no water for my feet to be washed. And yet this woman has washed my feet with her own tears." These preparations that Martha makes as a hostess are meticulous, they are thorough, and they reflect her commitment to hospitality. You and I have been there. Last-minute arrangements, a meal with separate dishes to be prepared, all of the accommodations that need to be made, including the washing of the guest's feet. When a guest came into the home, they removed their shoes, and one of the household servants would wash their feet. She would have been attentive to any need that might arise. Now, in this case, and by the way, as I said, we've all been there. It doesn't matter if I'm having someone over at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock. I'm still at the last minute running around. Still trying to get everything done. That's exactly what Martha's facing. And Jesus is now her guest. The preparations are consuming her time. You know, as you read this story, you can sense the tension that is building in Martha as her sister is not helping, but she's enjoying the leisure of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him teach. I can see Martha roll her eyes, mutter a few things under her breath. I imagine she said, "Doesn't Mary know I need help?" Or maybe walks through the room and she says, thanks. Thanks for helping me. Just some kind of little sarcastic remark. And people, what'd she say? And then she says, probably, doesn't she know this is something the men do? They sit in the den and they do the talking and we're all back here supposed to be getting the food ready. Maybe she even thought it would be nice to sit down and talk with Jesus, but food's in the oven and dishes have to be prepared and served. It's nice to just go sit with the guest. But if you're not careful, you'll let the rolls burn every time. But Martha, in her frustration, breaks proper protocol and she involves her guest in what is a point of disagreement. This is embarrassing. But Jesus addresses the root issue. Can you imagine having guests at your home? The guests are sitting around and someone should be helping you, maybe, that you think, and you go in and you look at the guest and you say, would you tell her to come help me? Can you imagine how quiet things would get right then? Can you imagine the tension at that moment? You could cut the air with a knife. But Jesus handles it superbly. He is ever so gentle. He doesn't get exasperated. He just goes right to the point. He says to her, Martha, Martha. I love the name Martha and I love this story. And I love how Jesus handles it. And the truth is, I identify with Martha in this story. Many of us do so because we understand her frustration, her anxiety. We understand that because we've been there. And Jesus is not condescending when he says to her, Martha, Martha. He's not at all putting her down. He is doubling her name for emphasis. Martha, Martha. You're worried and upset and distracted about so many things. And I understand all of those things are necessary. All of them are appreciated. And all of those concerns reflect your own commitment to making my stay here a very enjoyable one. Martha, you've forgotten, though, the one thing that is essential. These other things are necessary, but there's only one thing essential. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Hummel worked for InterVarsity, and he wrote a little booklet called The Tyranny of the Urgent. The Tyranny of the Urgent. Some of you have read it. In the book, Hummel said, the great crisis of our time spiritually is that we're always substituting the urgent for that which is most important. We allow in our schedule that which is urgent, that which sort of comes up upon us and we've got to take hold of it. And there are certain things that urgency requires that we act immediately. But if we're not careful, we're always allowing the urgent to crowd out the important, the essential, the critical thing. So Jesus redirects her. He says, you're focused on many things and are distracted. You need to focus on the one thing that is most needful. The one thing that is essential. And he says, Mary has chosen the better portion. The NIV says Mary's chosen what is better. But the word portion is there. And it's a little pun that Jesus is making on the idea of a portion of a dish or a portion of food. Mary has chosen the better portion because the best portion is not the great cut of filet mignon or the nice cut of lobster. The best portion is sitting at my feet. That's the most critical portion of all. The best dish is the teaching of Jesus. We live in a culture that puts a premium on activity. The real work takes place in the activity of getting things together. But for Jesus, the supreme work is hearing His Word. Martha is so busy, so distracted, that she has forgotten that the goal of hospitality is to enjoy the presence of her guest. And she's replaced enjoying her guest with serving her guest. And in serving her guest, the focus has turned to herself rather than been centered on Jesus Christ. The focus is on her work rather than His words. This passage is not teaching a distinction between the active life and the contemplative life. It is rather a distinction between the distracted life and the focused life. See, everything Martha was doing was essential. Everything was important. And Jesus understood that. But the one thing that was most critical was to hear Jesus. You see, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the cloud covered Jesus, a voice spoke from that cloud and it said, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to Him." Mary is doing the very thing the Father had spoken of in the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to Him. Did you hear Jesus speak to you this morning through His Word in your private devotion? Did you this past week when you awoke and after or while you were having your cup of coffee or while you were after you were dressed, did you take a moment and just open the Scriptures and say, "Today I want to hear Jesus speak"? And continue in your readings? Or were you so busy getting ready to go to work, and the crush and press of that urgency kept you from listening to Jesus? I've done that more times than I can even confess. But the one thing essential is hearing Jesus speak through His Word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, forgive us for neglecting the one thing, the better portion, that is essential. I pray that You would renew in us a hunger and a passion to know Jesus and to hear Jesus speak. And in all of our busyness and in all of our schedules and in all of the pressing demands upon our lives, forgive us for being distracted and not focused the one thing that is most needful. And we
we pray that you would renew that in us this day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.